What country is this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb, Berlin, Zlotik, yeah.
Hello and welcome to Berlin H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
Very well, Terry. Very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
How's things?
Good. Very good, yeah, Terry. Okay. What's been going on? I haven't run once since my last excursion.
Oh, wow.
Still paying for it. Still paying for it, to be honest.
Well, your knee still so or whatever?
My other one's acting up now. And
we did it.
And I've got sores on my feet.
But too close to the sun on wings of pastrami.
Yeah, that's what I did. But I've been back in work, actually.
Have you?
For a couple of days. Yes. What is it?
Now, we've been saving this. We've been recording for an hour already.
We did the Avengers one first this time. Terry sprung it on me last second. I've already popped my Fanta grape.
This is a Hopfully Brewing Company.
What does that mean?
It's the name. Instead of hopefully, I guess. And it's a beautiful IPA, apparently, is the name. But Tropical IPA. Alcohol.
Tropical IPA, it's called.
Yes.
They've gone from overdoing it in the names to underdoing it. Tropical IPA?
No, this is the type of IPA. I just told you what it was.
What's it called?
I'll tell you now. Hold on. I'm pouring.
What is that? Let me see that can.
I will in a second.
This is taking too long.
You gotta get the pour right. Now,
I want to see it.
A beautiful. Oh, Jesus. It's leaking everywhere. Well, there's the head. That's what
Graciosa.
It looks like.
It's a palm tree.
Has an eyeball. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a beautiful IPA.
Stop saying beautiful.
That's what it says. But it's let me
go on. You tell me, Terry.
Oh yes. Oh yes. Yes, indeed. If you're listening out there, and you're living in Dublin or Ireland or whatever, that gets a thumbs up. A graciosa from the Hopfully Brewing Company.
Your beloved Wednesday
night
beer.
I tell you what, people are taking my recommendations on these beers.
Why? Who?
Friend of the show, Tony Kane.
Oh,
He took me up on my oatmeal pale ale recommendation.
Liked it, did he?
Yeah, he did. Said it's very tasty.
Oatmeal beer.
Haven't bought one since, but you know.
I haven't had a drop of beer this quarantine, Terry.
Have you had a drink at all?
No, I have not.
Too busy eating that herb. And then eat that ass.
Oh my god.
You know it's a late record now.
Cards on the table, as we like to say in this podcast. We recorded the Marvel one first, and we're doing the Simpsons one second. So we'll be a bit loopy.
It's a bit late. Oh dear.
All right. I had something that's been grinding my gears I wanted to talk about.
Sure.
Passwords, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a big B in my bonnet with passwords because I go through the same process every time and I'm sick of it. I have the same email address.
Mm-hmm.
My password is, well, you know what it is, but my password is generally one thing, and if it's not that, it's a variation of whatever.
I hear you. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll either add on a number, I'll add on an exclamation point, or whatever. I'm not going to give you the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give the people the whole thing. But I'm just, like, I know I'm calling for something that's going to end up being some sort of New World Order, like, tracking system or something. But, like, can they not make this simpler? Because
just scan my eyes.
I'll go through the effort of changing my password literally every time I have to log in somewhere. And then when I'm putting in my new password, it's, oh, well, we have to have a capital letter. Like, well, if you told me that at the start, I would have got it a second time.
Capital letter or a special character or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you can never remember, is this the one that's all lowercase? Is this the one,
is this the one that I have a capital letter? Is this the one that I had to throw in?
With the asterisk at the end? Or
it's
whatever?
Driving me mental, to be honest. So I just really wanted to kind of rant about that and get that off my chest.
I got a thing on my Spotify there recently, and it was like, suspicious activity on your account. I was like, did you get it?
No, I got one on something else, on my Google account, something from Thailand.
This was like America at like 6 in the morning, like somebody's using my Spotify. And it's like, Jesus. What? And then I was like, maybe this is like fish, you know, it's scam mail or whatever. Yeah. Like, could they want your password? So I didn't act on it. And then I got another mail off them. And then it's like, we have reset your account. So I went to open my Spotify.
Does this affect me?
What?
Does this affect me?
No. It was just my login.
But
so that was the whole thing where I was like, just because you mentioned passwords, I'm like, oh.
You just don't know. Like, I got a thing the other day, or a couple of weeks ago, and it was someone logged in to your Google account, but we blocked it. That was the notification. Mm. I got a text message and an email. And it was saying someone, and it was a legit thing from Google saying someone did, but they probably saw that I had been using my phone in Arklow at 9:02,
sure.
And someone in Thailand at 9:03 tried to log in. Clearly, it wasn't me, so they blocked it or whatever. But I had to go in and change my passwords and all this sort of stuff. How do they have my password?
Well, who'd be bothered with me? Like,
I know.
I have nothing. I have nothing.
You know what
it
is? I had an email. I had an email before. Do you ever occasionally just go through your spam folder and just see what's there?
Yeah.
And I went through one. The subject line was my password, right?
Right.
And it was like a ransom. Like, you know, like I wouldn't have seen it otherwise, but it was like, I know what you've been looking at on your phone. People wouldn't.
It was my password
in the subject line. And I was like, I'm just going to ignore this.
That was the exact same with me, but it was, I have video of you, what you've been jerking off to, whatever like that. Like,
I got the same one.
And I was like, what the fuck?
I was like, well, this is in my spam for a reason. I'm just going to pretend I didn't see it.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, I want 1,200 in Bitcoin. I was like, Bitcoin?
I wouldn't even know where to start. So, yeah, anyway, I'll tell you something I've been watching, and Disney Plus has been great for, is those Pixar shorts.
They're great,
them with Joni. They're brilliant.
Some the only one I didn't just like was the volcano one.
Yeah, that was shite.
But I tell you, we talked about in the last episode stuff that makes you cry.
Yeah, which one?
Piper.
The bird?
Yeah, the little bird and the beach.
Why did that make you cry? That was a happy story.
Yeah, but it's just like the little fella, like he's so. Yeah, I went to see. It was in front of Finding Dory, and I brought Sam and Holly and Rosie. I brought the three kids to see it at like 11 o'clock. We were the only people in the cinema.
Nice.
And I was like, "This was on before." I was like, "I'm gonna start bawling here for these three kids."
I'm
like,
gonna start bawling here.
Yeah. Hold it together, Terry. They're all like, Sam was almost too old to go see Finding Dory. He was like, "Oh, go!" The rest of them are going. And Rosie was like 2 or 3, like so she was glued to the thing. And Holly's in the middle age, but I was like, "Oh, keep it together, man!" Jesus,
why is Uncle Terry crying?
Yeah, or that one Bao was good too.
Which one?
Bao.
I wasn't mad on that one. Now I liked. There was a good one about two robots mining like this metal, and they were attached by this battery, and then they ended up getting attached to each other. That was a very good one. Or there was
Day and Night is a good one.
About two umbrellas. Day and Night was alright. There was two umbrellas, like a blue one and a red one.
No.
But like the street sort of came alive. So like. The people holding the umbrellas were kind of in love, but the people holding them separated and they were trying to get back. And the wind blew it, but then like the drain, like the bolts in the drain were eyes, and that blew the umbrella up, and then the traffic lights changed. So, you know, all this, like,
spoilers,
the street.
I'm going to watch it.
You know what I mean? Like, the street, it was just very well done.
Well,
I just wish they were longer. Like, but,
the animated, apparently there's a bunch of those, like, Forky have shorts as well. Like.
Yeah, it's like, what is a friend? What is these sort of, what is money?
Trash, Forky.
What's been going on with you, Terry? You look like you're in a different setting.
I am. I'm in a new house. It was a bit of an old stressful week last week, just getting everything done and stuff like that. And then I was absolutely fried here, Friday and Saturday, just from, like, it's great. Like, everything. The space is brilliant. Oh,
yeah.
A lovely back garden out the back that's a bit of a sun trap. And the sun has been beating down. I don't know if you can see my bit of a red face. You've
a bit of colour now, I was going to say, now that you've turned the lights on.
Nice bit of grass out the front as well for us there. So I've been out, like, watering the grass to try and make it grow. A few patches that it's...
Oh, the seeds that you've put down and all,
But, yeah, it's been absolutely great. We've unpacked pretty much everything bar, and you got a few bits of clothes to put away.
Right.
But got the old whatchamajigger bookshelf and all that.
Nice.
Unpacked TV set
up. Organizing that sitting room is a dream. Yes. That first move.
That was the first thing I did on Friday. I think Faye was upstairs putting the baby to bed, and I was like, you know what? The bookshelf was there. I started unpacking all the boxes, and I was like, I'm going to rejig the bookshelf. So top shelf is all my movie books and a couple of crime thrillers that I am fond of.
I tell you, as an adult, it doesn't get more exciting than a good old rejig of the seating arrangements in your house.
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
So, we moved the TV to the other side of the room.
You got the TV similar setup as we had the last time, but now I've got my own box for my Blu-rays.
Your precious Blu-ray collection. Yes,
because I got rid. I'm going to be selling all my DVDs, my old DVDs. I'm selling them off.
Did you? Oh, selling them off.
Yeah, selling them off once society opens up again.
Did you leave your records with your mother?
No, I have them here for you. So I'm keeping. I've kept them, but I've been breaking out the old record player there recently.
Yeah,
the old vinyl sounds, because where we had it in the last place, the sound out of it wasn't great, and where I have it now in the new place, it actually fills the room perfectly.
It amplifies it a bit. Yeah.
So I was listening. I tell you what, I was listening to Pet Sounds the other day.
Great. Doesn't get much better than that.
What was I listening to before that? I tell you, we got a present of it, and you haven't come across it yet, but we got a present of it. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 on vinyl, the soundtrack on this. First track on it is ELO, Mr. Blue Sky, on vinyl. Dum, 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 dum. Great. I'm on holidays this week, so just kind of doing a few bits or whatever like that. Like, you know, trying to get things... the last bit sorted and stuff like that.
Yeah, so you can properly just be moved in and
dusted. Enjoy yourselves, like, you know.
We have to, in work...
So you're back in the office?
Yes, technically, unofficially, between you and me, Terry. This will be just our little secret.
Our
audience. I sort of half volunteered. They sort of said, like, if you want, you know. Anyway, so I was like, yeah, fine. And it's like, fine, I don't get stopped. Because it's like a training and events company, it's like, you can't really do anything. So it's all going to be online and, you know, doing these. He kind of wants to do these, like, management courses that are a bit like that, those masterclass ads.
Sure.
You know, like, really high quality.
Get you an Apatow in.
Yeah. Get Martin Scorsese in to chat about directing. But because I'm the only IT savvy person in the company, a lot of it will be done.
If you want me to do a masterclass on Saturday football management, you know, feel free.
Leadership.
How to win the MMI Cup.
Yeah.
It's a very niche training course.
But anyway, apart from that, nothing's been going on. How about you?
Not much. I have been watching a few things, though, since we settled in. Now, did you know that the new series of Rick and Morty is available to watch?
On Netflix?
Not on Netflix, my friend. On the All 4 app, which you can get on your TV.
I have it.
Yeah, and it's there.
Is it?
Yeah,
I have it on the PlayStation. That they said they have Dark Side of the Ring only season one on that All 4. Yeah. They don't have the good ones.
Yeah. But no, you can get Rick and Morty. So I watched the first two. It's every Thursday they go on. So they're there for you. They're good. Like, the first one is very much, I would call it a flex of, like, their what they think they are now. Like, right. It's super duper meta.
Okay.
But it's like, we can do pretty much anything we want, and people will watch it. Like, now
it's this kind stage. It's fitting yeah. almost that you say that, considering the episode that we're reviewing today.
Yes, absolutely, so yeah. And the second episode I watched, I thought I really enjoyed it. I won't spoil it for you, but it's good stuff, you know.
Okay. Well, I did not know that. I'll be enjoying that. Can I interrupt you? Can I stop you dead in your tracks and interrupt you for the millionth time on this podcast to say that I finished season one of You?
Oh, yes.
And I don't know what to think, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it, but I kind of, like... Listen, for those, just skip ahead 30 seconds if you
for those not on the Patreon feed, by the way, this was a little project that me and Cantwell did where... He picked an episode to watch of something for me, the pilot episode, and I picked it for him. So I picked the show You on Netflix as a bit of a goof, but it turned out he quite liked it. And he picked Peaky Blinders for me. But go on.
Yeah, no, I was really getting into it, and then, I won't say what happened, but it just kind of...
We just say spoilers for...
Fine. You. I'm just going to... spoilers for the show, You. Sorry. Skip 30 seconds ahead. And if you've already skipped 30 seconds ahead, sorry, we haven't discussed it yet. Skip another 30 seconds. I just kind of ended up feeling a bit, sad. You know what I mean?
That he what? Killed your wife?
Because I finished it, yesterday, season one. And I was like,
she's dead.
It was a bit like... One,
he did kill her, didn't he?
I guess it's a bit weird that it was just we're just led to assume that after all that's happened, but it's kind of like you forget that he's this psycho, and then she finds the box of stuff, and you're like, oh fuck!
Oh, that's right, he had it taped in the house or whatever. Yeah,
and I was like, oh fuck, I forgot he did all that horrible shit. And then it was like, oh, and I knew she was obviously just trying to work him to get out of the cage or whatever like that. It's like, this poor woman, I know she's a bit of an idiot as well and a bit of a skank.
I will say, the second season kind of
softened. I hear it's not as good.
I actually preferred it, to be honest. But that's because they kind of, exactly what you're saying, you're like, oh yeah, he is a psycho.
Yeah.
In the second season, they kind of soften it, that it's like...
I want it to be dialed up.
No, as in, you're more sympathetic towards him. Like, this, the psycho stuff he does is to bad people. As opposed to, stalking.
Nice, yeah.
It they do the balance a bit more. So you know, I didn't end up feeling sad, as opposed to what you might have felt there.
I don't know. It was only because it's fresh. I only watched it last night, but it was a bit yeah.
Stick with it. I would say, give.
Kerry did say when I was recording this, I was like, she's like, I'm going to watch the rest of that. You, I was like, don't. Oh really? It's no, I want to watch it. So anyway,
I'll tell you a last thing I talked about before we get into The Simpsons. I watched. Yeah. Remember, I told you I was buying too many Blu-rays.
Yeah, now you can't even sell them.
I don't want to sell them. The Blu-rays aren't going anywhere.
What are you selling?
The DVDs.
It's the same thing.
It's not the same thing. It's not. The picture quality is much better. Case in point is this movie I bought. Crimson Tide. Have you ever heard of it?
No. Let me Google it.
Oh. All right.
Crimson Tide.
It's actually a film you would probably really enjoy.
95. Okay. Yes. So far, so good. Gene Hackman. Okay. Denzel Washington. Fine. Oh, is it like a submarine movie?
So the plot is there's this guy. It's actually a man, Kay Uger. From Seinfeld is like a Russian separatist, and he's splitting off from the government, and he has nuclear codes, and so there's a nuclear sub being sent down to it's a preemptive thing. If the Russians are going to launch, America are going to launch first, so Gene Hackman is the commander, the captain of the ship. Denzel Washington is the XO, the executive officer. So in order for the missile to be launched, the two of them have to turn the keys. You know, right? But he's new on the ship, so basically this is his first time going down. He's getting, basically he's got like high recommendations from his class and stuff like that. And what happens is they get the thing that it's like Russians have capability to launch in 45 minutes. So it's essentially it's set in real time in like 45 minutes. And a lot of it is to do with procedure, but like in the most thrilling way, when it's like, we need to confirm this is correct or whatever. So like the clock is ticking and they're like alpha, eka, beta, whatever. And like, it's like, do you confirm? Okay. Like, and this could just be a drill or whatever, but it just kind of is to show you how crunch it can be. And I was thinking to myself, like, not a lot actually happens. An action film without action, but the suspense, the filmmaking is so suspenseful. Like, there's a scene in the middle of it where, like, Gene Hackman becomes, he's like, we have to launch. It's like he becomes obsessed with launching the thing. Right. And, like, midway through the point, it's like they get a message from somebody saying, it's like, it's cut off halfway through. So it could be saying launch, it could be saying not launch. So Denzel is like, we have to go back up because they could be telling us not to launch.
Right.
And there's a scene where the two of them are just going at each other.
This message means our target package could have changed.
You repeat this order or I'll find somebody who will.
Hell no, you won't, sir.
You're relieved of your position. Cobb, remove Mr. Hunter from the control room. Get Lieutenant Zimmer in here now.
No, sir, I do not concur and I do not recognize your authority to relieve me under command under Navy regulations.
Cobb, arrest this man
Captain
and get him out of here!
Under operating procedures governing the release of nuclear weapons, we cannot launch our missiles unless both you and I agree.
Cobb, now, what are you waiting for?
Formality, sir. This is expressly why your command must be repeated. It requires my assent. I do not give it. And furthermore, you continue upon this course and insist upon this launch without confirming this message first,
bitch.
I will be
Chief
forced
of the boat.
Back by the rules of precedent.
As Captain Commanding Officer. Command,
USS Alabama,
regulations, I order you to
place
XO under arrest under charge of
Navy regulations.
I say again, I order you to place the XO under arrest under charge of mutiny. Cobb!
Captain, please, the XO is right. We can't launch unless he concurs.
To the USS Alabama. Rebel-controlled missiles being fueled. Launch codes compromised. Dissonance. Threatened launch at continental United States. Set DEFCON 2. Immediately launch 10 Trident missile sorties. They're fueling their missiles! We don't have time to fuck around!
Sir, I think you need time to think this over.
I don't have to think this over!
Captain, I relieve you of your command of this ship.
But I was just engrossed by it, and I was like... On paper, it shouldn't be this engrossing.
On paper,
all.
This sounds like a terrible movie. But I trust
it's
that it's actually
so
good.
It's so fucking good. And I was just like, oh my God. Like, first of all, I miss Gene Hackman.
Is he dead?
No, he's just retired. Like, he's still alive. But, like, he retired, like, mid-2000s. Just like, but he's just so fucking good as the kind of shit colonel I was thinking to myself, like, how I'd never seen it. And then I looked it up. Tony Scott directed it.
Yeah.
Who directed Man on Fire. Top Gun. He directed Days of Thunder.
Oh, shit. You know,
like, good. And I was like, man, Tony Scott, like, he's Ridley Scott's brother. And everybody was like, oh, Tony Scott is the sort of bombastic, you know, popcorn movie maker. But I was like, man,
he's
made some fucking good movies.
Billy Baldwin.
No.
To his brother
Stephen
Alec.
Baldwin.
Okay.
Billy Baldwin.
Yeah. I do.
But
like
I would say that is forgotten gem of a movie that, like, if you get the chance out there, if you ever stumble across.
He's not talking to me, people. He's talking to you guys.
But even you, like, I think you would. I think you would love this film. Honestly. Kidding. I think you would.
Because I've been getting a bit into the Navy, Army sort of...
It has a who's who of, like, supporting cast in it. Like, they got the two there. Viggo Mortensen is, like, another supporting cast member. James Gandolfini is in it. And, like, there's... who else? There's a bunch of...
I'll tell you what.
It's that 90s...
I won't buy it.
What?
But I'll get it off you one
no,
day.
No, you won't get it off me, ever. I won't get it back. These Blu-rays, Andy.
Oh, you always give them back.
Sure.
Listen, Terry.
Can we get into this?
Can we get into this? Yeah. We've been recording here for
10 years.
Anyway, sorry, it's not professional to let the people know this.
Okay.
Listen, can I talk to you about the 18th episode of season 6 of The Simpsons, for the love of God, Terry?
Sure.
It's called A Star Is Burns, which, I'll be honest, right off the bat, it seems a bit unfair that Burnsy is just part of the title here, considering he didn't really have a huge part to play in this.
Well, it's the whole thing. Well, it's the driving force of the conflict, I guess, isn't it? Like,
yeah, he's the sort of, yeah, what's wrong with it? There's a lot of backstory to this one. Directed by Susie Dieter. Dieter.
Oh, yeah.
It was, and the first episode to be written by Ken Keeler. John Lovitz was the star of the show The Critic.
Mm-hmm.
And The Critic was a show that was created by Al Jean and Mike Rice.
My boys.
Who they were obviously writers in The Simpsons, but they left after the fourth season. And it was produced by James L. Brooks, also a producer of The Simpsons. And it was on, it premiered like after this episode of The Simpsons. So
right,
it was like,
okay, yeah.
It was a weird crossover because the character, what's your man's name?
Jay Sherman.
That's his character in the actual show. Matt Damon has heavily criticized the episode, feeling that it was just an advertisement for The Critic and that people would incorrectly associate the show with him. And when he was unsuccessful in getting the show pulled, he had his name removed from the credits and went public with his concerns, openly criticising James L. Brooks. Mm. And a bit more on it, right? I'm not going to lie, I'm reading it. Brooks said that for years, Al and Mike were two guys who worked their hearts out on this show, The Critic, staying up until 4 a.m. to get it right. Because basically, this was in response to that, like, Matt Groening was literally just telling everyone that he hated this, and he was sort of like
very professional, like
oh, typical Matt Groening. And James L. Brooks said, "I'm furious at Matt. He's been going to everyone who wears a suit of Fox and complaining about this. When he voices concerns about how to draw The Critic into the Simpsons universe, he was right, and we agree to his changes. Certainly, he's allowed his opinion, but airing publicly in this press has gone too far. He's a gifted, adorable, cuddly ingrate, but his behavior right now is rotten."
He throws his toys out of the pram, like, when he does
big time.
Yeah,
he said his name he said Matt's name has been on Mike's and Al's scripts and has taken plenty of credit for a lot of their great work. In fact, he's the direct beneficiary of their work. The Critic is their shot and he should be giving them support. And they said he was a little upset by Groening's action, saying that it taints everything at the last minute.
Well,
presumably they were really excited about this sort of whatever new show, The Critic, and Matt Groening just shat all over it before it even started.
Good on James L. Brooks, I have to say.
Yeah.
I like him as a director, to be honest. And you know, it's nice. And apparently, you know, he before The Simpsons, he's a legendary producer. You know, he did like Cheers and stuff.
Oh,
like
did
that.
He?
I think it was Cheers, Mary Tyler Moore.
Ah, right.
He basically, like, he has been, he was this guy, like, he produced Jerry Maguire, Taxi, that it was,
right.
But, like, he kind of was just this comedy juggernaut producer, like,
brilliant.
But he has a great reputation,
I would trust him over Matt Groening, based on that alone. Matt Groening tried to get the episode pulled and everything, and he doesn't appear on like the commentary on it or anything like that. So he really didn't like this episode.
I'll tell you what, James L. Brooks directed. You'll like this.
Go on.
All I'm asking is this: as good as it gets.
Is it as good as it gets by any chance?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I have to give you props. I've at least 4 or 5 occasions since we recorded the last podcast been in the kitchen and I just laughed out loud to myself thinking about twice last year. I can't even do it. Oh, I don't know why that tickles
me so
much.
Who's been to Santiago, Chile twice in a year? I love her, man.
I love her, man. Just like you.
Just like you.
Anyway, this episode was the third highest rated show on Fox. It doesn't give me the Nielsen ratings on this one.
That's Matt Groening's doing right there.
Bloody typical. And yeah, you know, I just want to get into it, to be honest.
Okay, I'll start you off then.
Okay.
What did you think of this one?
I didn't really like it, Terry.
Yeah, me neither.
I didn't. It was a weird, like, wacky sort of. I didn't know anything about this critic stuff. I didn't even know Jay Sherman was a character from another show or anything like this. But like, it was just very un-Simpsons like. It seemed. It was. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like,
I didn't care for the story too much. Some of the jokes were just, well, they were funny in their own right. They were just very, very un-Simpsons like jokes.
They're real, you know, non sequitur, I mean? Jokes now, aren't they? Like, yeah. Like, there's stuff that'll be like the booer and stuff is like repeated, and like that's why I think I had in my head that like, oh, this is like a classic, you know?
Yeah.
And then you're just like, I was watching it there. I was like, oh, okay. Like, you know, there are some bits in it that I
there's some
like,
as always, like, know? There's some really funny.
But this
bits.
This is like a low end of the spectrum for me. This is a rare blip.
A rare miss.
I guess like it starts with if you want to jump into it.
Like, see, like, this is the thing. When we talk about it, I'll say beforehand, like, I'm going to find so many bits hilarious. It's so weird that this is a show that we can say, like...
No, I will tell you, it really, like, at the start of it, I was like, oh, I'm on Springfield. Great.
Yeah. Me too.
Didn't really care for the Rappin' Rabbi thing, but the next bit where it was like...
But first, we all stink.
We all... Hey!
That's according to a national survey ranking Springfield as the least popular city in America.
That one guy.
Yeah.
Hey!
You get the whole thing where it's like, in science, dead last. It's like, yeah. Skinner getting burned at the stake. And then in culture, dead last.
Eleanor, we've got to do something about this depression. So I propose... Oh, that's right, I'm crippled.
Like, Eleanor gets her in the chair.
Oh, right.
I'm crippled. Oh, but then you get, like, you know, you get, like, tourism is going to go down, maps to movie stars, and, like, I did like Moe's, like, portrayal when they're, like...
Excuse me, are you Drew Barrymore?
What? Get out of here. I'm hungover.
Sorry, Miss Barrymore.
What?
Get out of here. But then you kind of get the town hall meeting.
I like the fact that like they have this town meeting. Yeah. And it's like,
I do always
the mayor,
it.
Like, are there any suggestions for how to attract more tourism? Like, he's really earning his money there.
Paddy, tell me, you know, changing it from Springfield to Seinfeld.
Yeah, now this was the first one where I was like, huh.
Yeah,
because they even gave the little doop doop doop. Yeah, and I was like, that seems like a very South Park-y Family Guy sort of joke, or you know, more so Family Guy even.
This is a bit of a weird thing with Bart, the Windy Valley and the Lost Dutchman's Mind.
Yeah, it's just what someone's ass.
It's his ass, like.
All right.
And then he's like, "I'm out of here," and he just gets caught up in the thing with Milhouse.
Even that I thought was weird, like, you know, like, he gets caught up in the things like, this the last time I used an escape hand devised by Milhouse, and he's just like, sorry, Bart. I'm like, is that the best they could have done? Like, what's Milhouse, like,
I don't know. I like the idea of, like, them having, like, a wacky little thing, but, like you say, is that the best version of that joke?
Yeah, and they could have, they were right at the finish line, and they just, instead of having Milhouse been wrapped up with him, They could have just done anything. Well, you know, it's easy for me to say here, you know, yeah, that's why they get paid. Yeah. But you know what I mean?
But I guess because they set themselves such a high standard.
Yeah.
I did like where it was like Marge stands up and you get everybody grumbling.
Oh, no. Marge is going to say something.
And I love, this is what they do best.
Marge is going to say something.
Yeah, that like thing. Like, and it's the same with that guy. Like, we all say, hey, like these. Yeah. These no-name guys in the background. Yeah. They're really, like, at this stage in the run, the series run, they're really nailing that sort of
metric. There's no one who... There's very few people who aren't funny, you know, like, side characters when they make a joke. Yeah,
like, but even just the tone of the town, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
You know, like, the average Joe on the street, they've got it down, like...
Yeah, exactly.
Stole the money from Church Collection Plate. And the marriage suggests the film festival.
Yeah, and give out prizes. And Wiggum's like, can we make our own movies and enter them? Yes!
At last, an excuse to wear makeup.
And then marriage, of course, like, if you like my idea, actually, I have several others. Don't push your luck.
I didn't like that. It's just like, ugh.
It's very un-Simpsons-y. Yeah. I don't know.
And you get a little thing here where you get Bart's film and you get Flanders' film. I did like Bart's film. I've always liked the thing of Homer when he's trying to buckle his belt, the eternal struggle. But like, when he's like, relax, Brit, my Aunt Fanny. He's like, oh, a belt is buckled.
Yeah, just continues to struggle.
No change whatsoever. Like, but the idea of him sitting there not realizing the belt is buckled.
Yeah, like, and it's still making no difference. Like, I was a big fan of Ned's movie because it was like they're laying Rod down in the basket.
Or Todd,
yeah, and he just as soon as he hits the water, it's like yeah, and the help me where it's like in between the trees. It's the last E as well. That's the funniest bit.
Help me!
And Flanders, I love the power that Flanders has.
They do it a few times of Flanders where it's like...
calls in a favor quickly. Yeah,
it's me.
Yeah.
Then they go to Marge watching TV and it's kind of, you know, this is setting up basically like how you get Jay into the episode, really.
Yeah,
I did like
it's fun. Like, I don't particularly like Jay Sherman in this episode, and that was a criticism of why the show failed, because he's just not really, there's not enough there to like about the character to make you want to kind of root for him.
Yeah, it was more the stuff happening around him that I enjoyed.
Yeah,
like when he's talking to Rainier Wolfcastle,
star you know, of the reprehensible McBain movies,
and like, you know, McBain, let's get silly. Like, you get the whole thing.
Did you ever notice how men always leave the toilet seat up? That's the joke.
You suck, McBain.
Now my Woody Allen impression. I'm a neurotic nerd who likes to sleep with little girls.
Hey, that really sucked.
The film is just me in front of a brick wall for an hour and a half. It cost $80 million.
Now, do you remember the stuff that used to be censored out of this? With
the McBain? I definitely didn't hear the Woody Allen impression before.
No, definitely wasn't. Like, it was always cut out.
Yeah,
like it went as far as that's the joke.
And yeah,
because it never even had where it was like, you suck, McBain. You'd never have him like shooting people.
It was just that's the joke, and that's been the meme that's all over the internet now. Yeah. But yeah, even that like doesn't seem like a Simpsons joke. Like, I mean, I get it. Like, Woody Allen is a fucking weirdo. Like, and probably worse. But you know, like, I'm a neurotic nerd who likes to sleep with little girls. Like, where do you hear that on The Simpsons? Like,
yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, it is very un-Simpsons.
Seems like a cheap shot almost. Like, and they don't need to take that.
I did like, though, where it was just the line reading of it, where like Jay is reading the letter, and then like he's like, why would I want to leave Manhattan? And then like Wolfcastle was like,
yeah.
Sherman, I just realized you insulted me. Now you will die. Just what the intensity or whatever about like,
yeah. He's like proper just McBain, yeah. There like,
I just realized you insulted me.
And even to be honest, this joke didn't even really do it for me, where he's like, your shoes untied. It's like, from here they appear to be tied, but I will go in for a closer look.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's staring for like, what, 8 hours, and it's like, on closer inspection, these are loafers.
It was funny.
Didn't land for me.
It was funny the first time. It's not one that, like, a lot of this stuff hasn't held up, is what I'm realizing. That's what it is. Like, you know, and like,
exactly.
You get kind of, like, he arrives in Springfield.
Attention, the flight from New York has arrived.
Hey, I'm landing here.
Some of the stuff here that I thought was kind of cute was when it was like, coming up next, the Flintstones meet the Jetsons. And Bart being like, I smell another cheap cartoon crossover. Yeah. And then even when he's like, hey man, I love your show. I think all kids should watch it. I feel so dirty.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, like, that's very meta. That
very little, meta, yeah.
Little, but it was done okay, like, you know.
I'll be honest, I didn't pick up on, I didn't know of any of the issues with this episode before, or you had never heard of The Critic or anything like that, but it was like,
I knew of The Critic, I didn't know about the issues that you told me about, but like, just the idea, it just came across me that it's like, okay, this is like, Bart's character has been written to say this, and he's realised that, and then he's like, ugh, like, so then, Burnsy.
What I want to know about Burnsy is, right, is that he, in this episode,
It's very thin, like.
Yeah, but, like, I was thinking by the end, I was like, why does, like, first of all, I mean, like, after the Springfield Festival when he doesn't win and all this, and then he's gone to Hollywood or whatever, like, why does he even want to be in movies? Why does this matter to him? Like, you know, that he's buying out all of Hollywood, probably spending a fortune, so his movie, like, why does he care? I don't know.
Good gag, I thought, was when it was, Steven Spielberg, his non-union Mexican equivalent. And then it's like, listen, Senor Spielberg.
I did like the line where he's like, Smithers is like, I'm afraid we have a bad image, sir. Market research shows people think of you as something of an ogre. And Burns is like, I ought to club them and eat their bones. But yeah, so Spielberg, he wants Spielberg to do for him what Spielberg did for Oscar Schindler.
Schindler es bueno, Senor Burns es el diablo.
I like that. I love when I can understand.
Yeah. And then it was like, listen, Schindler and I are like peas in a pod. We're both factory owners. We both made shells for Nazis. But mine work, damn it.
Yeah. And then, like, the next scene, like, Homer and Jay Sherman are fighting over the pork chop, whatever. Didn't like the stomach battle, you know, like this. Plus, like, he's in another man's house and he's taking the last pork chop. Like, the fucking nerve of this guy. I didn't like him for the rest of the episode after that.
Carrying around all his trophies, you know.
Is that what Golden Globes actually look like, the ones that roll out of his trousers?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
No, they're on a... the globe is on top of, like, a trophy.
Yeah, thing, you know? Yeah, I thought that.
Unless that's what they were like back then, like.
Maybe it was, yeah.
Paddy and Selma make an appearance. I did like this. I've always liked this one. So I said to Woody Allen, well, Camus can do, but Sartre is smarter. And then Homer's like, Scooby-Doo can do-do, but Jimmy Carter is smarter.
I don't, like, I mean, do you get Jay Sherman's original joke?
I get the, Sartre is like philosopher.
Okay.
I don't know what Camus
is,
but Homer's one, like, Scooby-Doo and Jimmy Carter, like, he's just making words that rhyme. Like,
he's just saying things.
Yeah. The whole, I don't know, Harvey Fierstein, like, do you know who he is?
No.
He played White Carl in, you know, the...
Yeah, man.
But he also...
Like, you're going to say, I am a winner.
Yeah.
Is that your...
Yeah, he's openly gay. Like, and that's why, like... Yeah, exactly, yeah. But, like, that's the joke where, like, when he's like, he says, Harvey fires, and they're like, no! Like, the two of them are like, you know?
Oh, I never got that.
Yeah.
And then,
it's a good joke, says, like...
Yeah, I like that, actually. Now that I get it, I like it. And he says MacGyver is gay, so they string him up by his underwear. So, yeah, Marge is making the jury list. And, like, I was a fan of this exchange where Homer's like, do you respect my intelligence? And Marge just blankly stares, like, yes. And just the constant every time. But no reason.
I like the thing where it's like, are you human? He's like, yes. Like, her voice is a bit more, like, defeated.
Yeah, okay. But I did, like, every time Homer turned back, you just see his frown over, like, just underneath the duvet.
It's great.
I just like that image, like, wait a minute.
And then, did you notice who she crossed off her list when she put Homer on there?
Scorsese.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Now, was she planning to get Scorsese, or did
she was hoping to get him, I assume. Right. Like, that's the joke. Well, maybe the joke is he was already on the jury. And,
you know. That's what I don't know.
You get an Oscar Mayer Wiener song, which I did enjoy. It's fine, you know.
It was fine.
And then you get, Bernsey is doing his casting.
Yeah. So who we got?
You get Anthony Hopkins first as Hannibal Lecter.
Excellent.
You get William Shatner as Captain
L. Ant.
You get Homer.
Exactly.
And then you get Chespirito.
Excelente.
Bumblebee man.
Es muy bueno.
Yeah. I did like that line. So Burns is going to play himself, though. And then you get, like, the opening films.
Dr. Hibbert, like, do I not get this joke? He shows up in, like, fishnet stockings.
Yeah, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Playing the Rocky Horror Picture Show tonight. Why would he still come dressed as that?
But that's what it is. Like, when you go to Rocky Horror Picture Show, like, everybody dresses up like, I'm a transsexual from Transylvania. Never seen the movie, no?
No.
Oh, it's great. Tim Curry, man.
I know Tim Curry's in it. I tell you what. Meatloaf.
Meatloaf, yeah. A very young Susan Sarandon.
Ooh.
That song, touch me.
I need assistance. Touch me. I wanna be dirty. Throw me, chill me, fulfill me. Creature of the night.
You don't know it.
I don't know anything about the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Watch it. Have a few beers and watch it, or get high and watch it. Why don't you just smoke your dope, dopehead?
I guess you can light your dope with it, dopehead. I'm telling you now, I'm not going to watch it.
It's great.
The only way I'll watch it is if I'm forced to watch it.
What's so great about Tim Curry? He'll be coming down the pike.
Anyway.
So you get the first film is Bright Lights, Beef Jerky.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the security footage from the Quickie Man. But
that's it, like. Oh, yeah, Wiggum's like, I got problems of my own right now.
Oh, boy. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Like, he's going into the hot dog machine.
I felt like they should have cut to Wiggum there, you know, in the crowd. And like, oh, come on, or, you know, something. You know, I was waiting for that.
Mo the bartender in Mo Better Booze. I did like this.
Money gets you one more round. Drink it down, you stupid clown.
Money gets you one more round.
You're out on your ass.
Wow. Oh, God. My back.
It was almost too on the nose that, like, you know I love Mo jokes, but that was almost too, like, oh, my back.
Yeah. I'm which preferred theater line reading. What? Get out of here.
A man getting hit with football. Of course. Getting hit with football is funny.
Hans Moleman Productions presents Man Getting Hit by Football.
Ooh. This contest is over. Give that man the $10,000.
This isn't America's Funniest Home Videos.
But the ball is groin. It works at so many levels. Roll it again.
I mean,
yeah. The noise.
Boink. Boink. And you know what I love? The biggest laugh for me, I think, in this. Oh no, I think I might have had another one soon after. But where Homer is like guffawing laughter. I love how he's just like, it's such an undignified laugh.
Plus the
like,
ball, he's growing. Like you get Barney's movie, which is good. Like
it's very
know.
Good.
My name is Barney Gumble. I'm 40, I'm single, and I drink. There's a line in Othello about a drinker. Now a sensible man, by and by a fool, presently a beast. That pretty well covers it.
It's brilliant. Savagely honest, tender. He has the soul of a poet.
You're very kind.
Excuse me, did something crawl down your throat and die?
It didn't die. My name is Barney, and I'm an alcoholic.
Mr. Gumball, this is a Girl Scout meeting.
Is it? Or is it that you girls can't admit you have a problem? Don't cry for me. I'm already dead.
I like it.
Yeah, it is good, but it's not particularly funny. Well, there's a couple of bits where when he's at the Girl Scout meeting.
It's just a bunch of scenes chopped together, really. With
don't
music.
Cry for me. I'm already dead.
So, yeah. So
Homer comes back and he missed it, though, as well. Like,
what?
Homer comes back and he's missed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's
like,
completely missed the movie, yeah. And then Burnsy's...
I don't know what the first film is.
The first one is the...
I don't know what the film is supposed to be like.
Ben-Hur?
No, because it's... you know, Viva Senor Burns is not Ben-Hur. Like.
Oh, yeah.
Viva Zapata, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know that
maybe
one.
Maybe it is Viva Zapata. But,
we did 20 takes and that was the best one.
Yeah.
Big fan of that.
Then you get E.T.
He's just completely ripping off these movies. I'll be right here. And I love the pure egotism.
Self-indulgent tripe.
Tripe.
My favorite is the Ben-Hur. Drink up to the Ben-Hur.
Plus, like, is it supposed to be a joke that he's...
the king of kings.
Is this supposed to be giving him like a plastic bottle?
That's part of the joke.
It just gives him like a 2 liter bottle.
That's part of the joke.
And I do like the Boo Orange joke. You know, I know it's been overplayed.
Did nothing for me this time.
I know, but I acknowledge just based on all the previous times.
Good.
It's good, but yeah.
Like you say, it doesn't hold up. Like.
Yeah.
Barney's movie was called Pocahontas, they noted when they're.
I like that. Unfortunately, titles ruins it. Like
Quimby votes for Burns, Krusty votes for Burns. He's got a date with Eudora Welfi.
Coming, Eudora.
I did like the Krusty move me. Do a big ass.
I love that.
So then, like, you kind of just Homer gets shamed into. Picking, you know, or picking between Burns and Krusty, Burns and Barney, really.
Yeah, so he goes to watch the Barney one again and likes it. But, like, I was a big fan of the. What's the actual. Where he's like, I'll never drink a beer again.
Beer.
But here, I'll take 10.
Yeah. Just the way he says that. I'll take 10.
Without thinking. And it's like, you know what I love? Like, I was thinking, like, at the time, I was kind of like, oh, would it have been funnier if he'd have said, like, I'll take 4 or something more realistic for the lot. But the fact that they just completely go to the deep end.
You know he's going to drink those 10 very easily. I think, like, you get the itchy and scratchy thing.
That seemed just sort of shoehorned in there.
Yeah,
it?
Like, right. It's like, we need time.
They just laugh at it, and then, and now on with it, whatever. Like, oh, okay, it's completely irrelevant to the plot.
So, Barney's going to quit beer after he wins, but then he wins a lifetime supply of Duff beer. Oh, sweet irony. Does hug into my veins.
Yeah. And then, they're seeing Jay Sherman off. And now I get the joke where he's like, and if you ever want to visit my show, and Bart's like, we're not going to be doing that.
Yeah.
I finally got that. I knew that was a reference to something, but now I finally get it. Okay.
And then you get, it's a weird, the last two episodes have kind of had these weird endings where it's just like, that's it. Like Burns is at the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
Like, and the same with the last one where it was like, call off the debt. That's off.
Let's like, go, dude, boing, the end.
Yeah. Like, this is like, I did like the choice of George C. Scott.
Arrgh, my groin!
I'm just Googling here, who's George
C. Scott? He played like Patton, and he was in...
I've seen him
now. He played General... I think he won an Oscar for General Patton, or he was in Doctor Strangelove as well. Like, he's more of a...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Classic sort of actor,
but I think that was my groin. that's kind of it, but it was very much like I had much higher hopes for it,
honestly. Like, I was thinking oh good, it's the film festival one. For some reason, I don't know why, I thought Burns was in it more. I don't know what I thought it was, but like, it was only when I was watching it again, and I was watching it with Kerry, I was like, this is a fucking mad episode. Like, even when Homer like tells a joke and like tumbleweed blows across the sitting room.
Yeah.
And all this.
Oh yeah.
Like they're good. There's some good jokes in there, but they were just very. It took me out of the Simpsons world. It was very wacky, and I didn't know anything about.
Should we get into ratings first of all?
Yes. Yes, please.
Please.
Let me ask you something, Mr. Sucker. What did you think of it? Well, we know what you thought.
Look, I'll give you my rating right now.
Please do.
I'm going to give it a 7.7.
Ooh, that is your second lowest of the season.
And it's a shame. Well, you're right. It is too wacky. Like, we talked about like last episode, and it wasn't an amazing episode, but it was a real world problem. You know, it was Homer has money problems, whatever. This is like...
There is no problem.
There's no world in which this stuff that's happening.
Yeah,
it's very, very cartoony.
Because you had like Australia, which was a big out there episode done well. Then you had the real grounded episode of Homer and Paddy and Selma. And now this one was just like, it didn't need to be made.
Like, it just didn't work as an episode for me at all. Like,
you know, I was wondering what you'd think. I was wondering if you would think the same, or if I just caught it on a bad.
No, because I stuck it on. I think I stuck on after watching Crimson Tide the other day, and I was like, maybe it was last night I stuck it on, but I was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, you know, like I just.
Can I ask who your MVP would be? I don't know.
It's kind of like that. I'm trying to think who made me laugh the most. And... You know,
gonna give it to Homer again?
No, I think I'm gonna give it to Mo.
Right, yeah.
Just because those are two of the moments that made me laugh the most. Even though you're saying you didn't care for the back one, I just loved his even the way he fell off the bar, like,
yeah, it's just Mo being
and then,
Mo, like,
and then the other one like, I'm hungover.
What?
What? Get out of here! I'm hungover.
Well, Terry, I'd be inclined to agree with you. The episode didn't really work for me. There was a few sort of big laughs. Well, not big laughs, but there was a few good jokes in there that got a laugh. My MVP, I'm going to say Homer, because, you know, whatever. And My rating will be 7.3. Ooh. Which is, you know what? No, 7.1.
Mm.
So that is my second lowest of the season.
Do you know what we have coming next week?
I surely do. Next week, Terry, thank you for asking. Lisa's Wedding. Oh.
I will be interested. Now, another high concept one, but I'll be interested to see how it holds up. From what I remember, it's a lot more grounded than this.
Very
one,
much.
Even though brilliant. It's a future episode. But I always enjoy those ones.
That won an Emmy, you know.
Did it?
Yes.
Save for next week.
I'll save it. Terry, can we plug in, please?
Hit me, Andy.
You can find us on Instagram, on Twitter, at PutItInHPodcast. You can email us at PutItInHPod@gmail.com.
You can, what else can they support do, the Terry? Podcast by becoming one of our Patreons over on Patreon.com.
One of our patrons, he means. They're the patrons. It's on Patreon.
What time is it? It's 20 to 11. Give me a break.
Just try and nip that in the bud anyway. Yeah, continue, okay. Please.
If you follow us on Patreon, you can get access. What?
If you follow us on Patreon, you're all over the place.
Patreon. You can get access to tons of our bonus content on our sister podcast, What's So Great About. We are doing the Marvel movies, the MCU from start to finish. We have just recorded the Avengers. But if you want access to that, you got to pony up a big $5 dues. If you can't afford a fiver in these trying times, Andy's face is crumpling here.
If you can't afford a fiver, I can't afford a fiver and I'm signed up to a Patreon.
If you can't afford a fiver, you can support us otherwise by giving us a rating, giving us a review. There's a lot of podcasts out there. Any rating review really helps us get noticed.
Yes.
Get some more earballs on the product. And yeah.
Yes, sir. If you are... thank you very much to everyone. We've got a lot of new patrons in the
Patreons.
Month of May. No, you don't know. I know.
I'm more on the creative side, folks.
We got a lot of... I handle the finances. Yeah. A lot of new patrons. Me doing it. Thanks very much. It's great to see that little message pop up on my phone. Like you've got a new patron. I'm like, yes! Great to see the support, and we have a bunch of new bonus episodes up there, and we have our other podcast is up there as well. And just you, the listener, for sitting back listening to this one, just for even listening, we appreciate it. So
thank you very much.
It still boggles my mind when I look at the stats, because I'm a numbersman, Terry. I want to see what's going on. Although I hadn't looked in a while, and I only looked the other day, I was like, Jesus,
Anyway, he's rambling, folks. I'm here to cut him off.
You leaned into the screen as if to apply. That's enough of that.
Yeah.
Listen, I have no. I don't know what to say. No, minutes before I'll be asleep.
We'll leave it there. So, thank you all for listening. We will see you next week for Lisa's Wedding. And in the meantime, I hope everybody out there is staying safe and being safe.
Yeah. Yeah, what he said.
Goodbye.
Oh, I'd love to be an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I'd truly like to be. 'Cause if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener,